I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your first look for the Travelers Championship. And joining me to break it all down, Sia Najad is here. Sia, welcome.
Rick, looking forward to another tournament. I think we might have some things to sort out this weekend too, but anyway, I'm looking forward to it.
Greg Ducharme rounds out our team for today. And Greg, the Travelers, that's your neck of the woods, my friend. Cromwell, Connecticut. How far are you from Cromwell?
About an hour and a half.
Oh, so I thought you were
closer. It is my neck of the woods.
Yeah.
But I am going up on Tuesday. I'll be up there on site for one day only, but it should be a nice little trip. So I'm really looking forward to that. And by the way, are we dating this again like we normally do? Or are we
go ahead? If you want to, you can.
I just
wanted to give you a heads up. You'll probably be looking at my left ear a fair amount in this, and it doesn't mean I'm not listening. It just means I'm also watching something else that is going on my TV.
We are in the thick of it at the U.S. Open. There is a lot happening right now, so I cannot blame Greg for that. Oh, I thought Brooks made that
point. Yeah, okay. I thought he did too. Okay.
So
it's good. By the way, it's good that we're dating this to a degree because it kind of notes our dedication to this whole process. In the middle of the U.S. Open, we're trying to get the info out there as soon as we can. I like it.
That's right. And Greg's dedication to going to the event next week because Adam Hadwin's in the field. And I assume you're going to go give him some swing tips and get his game in shape.
No swing tips. Again, we're not working together, but I will definitely be watching him. I'll try to get a selfie.
There you go. Absolutely love it. Travelers Championship. So this event is, as I like to say, a staple on the schedule. But Sia, it's always very well received from the players. This is always a place, TPC River Highlands, an event that gets put on in Cromwell, Connecticut, that players want to go to. And I think the evidence of that for this year is 5 of the top 10 players in the world are going to Connecticut the week after a major championship to tee it up.
Yeah, I agree with that, except for the fact that I kind of want to kick something back to you and Greg. You know, with the Palmetto being on the East Coast and then we had the U.S. Open on the West Coast, are we kind of worried that some of these guys might end up sort of dropping out? I mean, I think we've learned that Daniel Berger and Jonathan Vegas have withdrawn from this tournament. Are we worried that guys like DJ, who actually did that travel, are going to be pulling out at some point?
To me, it depends on their schedule leading into the event. If it's the fifth week in a row or something like that, the likelihood just goes up because they want to play, they want to commit to it, but they get through the U.S. Open and the body just doesn't feel right. But if it's like, for instance, Phil Mickelson, who took 2 weeks, quote unquote, off from playing tournament golf. He was preparing for the U.S. Open. I expect him to honor his commitment and be at the event. So I think it depends a little bit on their schedule beforehand, but I think they've also shown in 2019 that the East Coast, West Coast travel is a smaller deal to them than we make it seem, especially when it's West back to East.
And flying private helps as well.
Yeah.
Does it?
They're not sitting middle seat in coach on a Spirit flight. They're all good. They've got their Wi-Fi. They've got everything that they need. TPC River Highlands has played a host to this event for 38 years. And Greg, there's a lot of different angles we can take. It's a par 70. It's 6,841 yards. It is one of the shorter courses that we have on the PGA Tour. One of the few opportunities where distance not necessarily a prerequisite for success. So when you pull up the field and you see Abraham Answer's name at the top, you think, oh, this might be a pretty good week for Abe Answer.
Yeah, it's a completely different feel than what you see this week at a U.S. Open, where it's a tough week for Abraham Answer, even though it is a fast golf course and not all long hitters do well at a U.S. Open. It's a much different feel, and it relieves a little bit of stress on the drive into the ball. You also go back to Bentgrass Rough, which even if it's long, it's a little bit easier to manage, a little bit easier to get through. So that, I think, is a benefit. But there's also a ton of wedges. This turns into a wedge fest. It's yes. a wedge and a putting contest at the end of the day, and it gives players of all lengths a real chance to win.
The scoring, or at least single round scoring at times, Sia, has been outrageous. I mean, this is where Jim Furyk shot a 58. Greg is absolutely right. It turns into a birdie fest. If you can get hot with a wedge, hot with a putter, you can shoot something low. Patrick Cantlay shot a 60 in 2011. That is still the lowest score in tour history by an amateur. Mackenzie Hughes opened with a 60 last year. DJ shot a 61 in the third round. It's not like we're going to get to 25 under. Or historically, we haven't seen that. We haven't seen 25, 26 under par, but we've seen some really, really low single rounds out there.
Yeah, and we're going to see that again. I mean, I suppose there could be wind as a factor. We'll have to monitor that, but typically it's not a factor. So yeah, absolute birdie fest. You want guys that can put themselves in an opportunity to birdie as much as possible, obviously. I mean, it's going to be such a contrast from this week, from this week's U.S. Open, because, you know, from a DFS standpoint, let's say, you know, you're really worried about finishing position more than you are, at least as much as you are scoring, because there isn't much scoring with these tough golf courses. Well, the alternative or the reverse is true here at the Travelers, because there's going to be a lot of scoring. There's going to be a lot of those bonuses, you know, the three birdies in a row bonuses and things of that nature. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a nice contrast to the U.S. Open.
Especially with that finish. Sorry, I'm sorry, Rick.
No, please.
Like, you get to 14, which you can make birdie on. It's a short iron in. And then you get 15, which is drivable. 16, which is a par 3 that you can make birdie on for sure. 17 is an iron off the tee, wedge in. You can make birdie there or double. Right. 16 yes. is the same way. And then 18 is another wedge opportunity. So that finish really, and then you have 13 on the other side of that. So the second nine lends itself to a lot of birdie opportunities. And that's why you see such low scores.
Those holes 15 through 17 play around a 4-acre lake that will certainly come into play over the course of the week. Let's take a look at the field. We mentioned there's five of the top 10 players of the world in there for now, headlined by Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka. Let's start with Bryson, Sia. You know, he has actually played pretty well around this event. So he finished sixth last year, eighth the year before, and ninth the previous year. So it's wild distance, not necessarily a prerequisite. If you thought that most guys were going to hit wedges, Bryson's definitely hitting wedges into basically every single green.
Yeah, and the irony about that, at least with respect to Bryson, is his wedge game really hasn't been that good. Now, I'm not looking at the stats from this particular, from the U.S. Open, but for the most part, those short irons in, he hasn't really been that good. Then again, off the tee, he's been great. So, you know, while this is a shorter course, off the tee is really going to help you if you're a Bryson DeChambeau. So I think, I don't know, I haven't really decided if I'm going to be on Bryson. I mean, you mentioned Patrick Cantlay. I'm definitely going to be on him. I've done a preliminary model, and oh, by the way, Patrick Cantlay rates out first, and all the proximities I'm concerned with, particularly 125 to 150, 150 to 175, which I think versus tour average, those are going to be proximities you're really going to focus on because they are greater than tour average. I like those. I like Cantlay a lot for those reasons. But as far as Bryson, I think he's a good play this week.
Well, we can transition to Patrick Cantlay here, Greg. We already know how Sia feels about him. Cantlay has three consecutive top 15 finishes. I mentioned the low round, the 60 that he shot in 2011. He just won the Memorial a couple of starts ago and did indeed make the weekend at the U.S. Open. Seemingly, things are starting to get back on track for Cantlay after his little bit of a mini slump.
There's no question about it. And the thing that the mini slump is looking more and more like an anomaly, if you will. It's kind of just a bizarre thing that happened, but they stuck to the game plan. And I think Mark talked about this after the Memorial. He and Jamie Mulligan really stuck to the game plan. They didn't make any rash changes. They just kept on doing what they're doing, and he seems to be back. So I think that's a big advantage. As for this golf course, I think of another West Coast event he played earlier in the year at Pebble Beach, which is similar in a way because it's another short golf course. But you end up with a player like Cantlay, who gave himself during that event opportunity after opportunity inside of 15 feet because he was hitting those wedges right at the flag.
Can I just say something real quick?
Yeah, I saw something going.
If you're watching this on YouTube, if you could isolate the time right now and look at Rick's face, you know exactly what just happened. It affected me as well. Golf is intense. It's all, yeah, I mean, every happened, hole is something
different. What happened is Colin Morikawa missed another like 4-footer for birdie, and which he has now done on 6 and now 8. He'd be winning this golf tournament.
Sure.
God, he's killing me. Okay. Our defending champion, Dustin Johnson, won this event in 2020, one stroke victory over Kevin Streelman. And this is where we started to get really peak DJ at the end of 2020. Sia. Now, he is certainly not in that same form, but we are starting to see signs, of course, playing well at the U.S. Open this week. We have seen him start to put, you know, two rounds together, then maybe three rounds together. How close do we think DJ is to winning golf tournaments again?
I think he's really close. I think the upward trajectory is there for sure. And I, you know, if it's between, let's say, a Bryson and a DJ, I actually think I'm going to go DJ, both in the betting market and in the DFS market this week. So I like where he's headed, kind of heading down the stretch into sort of the final stretch of the season.
A little bit further down the board, Ricky Fowler getting back into action this week, Greg. I think that's going to be a big story. He is playing his first event since missing, you know, not qualifying for the U.S. Open, but he is now, again, very, very small sample size, but his last two starts, I think it was an 8th at the PGA and 11th at the Memorial, something like that. That's the best two start stretch that he's had in quite some time. So I don't want to jump the gun here. I know it's only two starts, but maybe he's starting to trend in the right direction.
Yeah, I think he is. Because in those two events, the areas that really improved for him were his iron play and his putting. And I think for an event like this, during this week at the Travelers, these are going to be, we'll talk about this later on in the week as well at length, but these are, in my opinion, the two most important areas. What's your iron play, short irons especially, and how is your putting? And for Ricky Fowler, he's played here a couple of times, not for a long time, not since 2013, but he does have two tied 13ths and a missed cut here. So I think it could be a good golf course for him, a comfortable spot to gain a little bit of confidence. And we'll get a real good idea of where he is with the putter and with his iron play in a week like this. I'm expecting good things.
We certainly could not have a Travelers Championship preview without talking about the three-time champion. Bubba Watson has essentially made a career out of this course alone. Sia, if he goes on and happens to win this week, he would become the only man with Billy Casper, I guess, two guys, to be the four-time champions of this event. If you start talking about Bubba tracks, this has to be the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah, it's certainly one of them, but I got to tell you, I probably won't be on him. And this is just a pure, and I don't always necessarily, Rick, rely on the stats or the models, because there's eye test and there's other things involved, momentum for one. And Bubba's playing really well this week at the U.S. Open, but he's just not rating out in some of the proximities and in some of the metrics, like on approach, especially 150, 150 yards in, it's just not rating out that well. But the putter really hasn't been that good over the last 18, 24 rounds. So yeah, a great track for him. I would wouldn't argue with anybody who wanted to play him, but I don't think Bubba's going to be for me.
And then finally, Greg, Garrick Higo back in action this week. Missed the cut at the U.S. Open after his victory at the Palmetto Championship. I'm certainly not going to knock him for that, but I think the larger question around Higo is, what type of player is he? When you go out and win your second PGA Tour start, you know, we could say he's the next best thing. He's the next Tiger Woods. He won his second start. But like, what are we realistically expecting from Garrick Higo long term?
Well, the first step is really get your feet on the ground on the PGA Tour. I know you won a kind of an interesting event where everybody fell around you. So what kind of confidence does that give you? It could give you great confidence. I'm expecting good things. I don't know if we're going to see him win every one in every seven events that he plays, like he has around the world.
If he does, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah. I think he's a contender. I'm going to kind of play him until he gives me a reason not to. And I don't include the U.S. Open miscut as a reason not to.
Yeah, I mean, you coming off your first victory, now you have to go to Torrey Pines and play a U.S. Open. Like, come on, that's
fine.
I'll cut him some slack as well. Okay, gentlemen. Well, I think that'll do it for our first look. We'll be back on Monday with a full DFS preview. Of course, the Megapod will be out on Tuesday, and then round by round recaps the rest of the way. But we have a U.S. Open to be decided, and at this point, oh boy, it is stacking up at the top. So I'm going to let you guys get out of here. For now, let me thank producer Jacob. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, that's Sia Najad. You can find him on Twitter at Sia Najad. Greg Ducharme, you can find him at The Real GFD. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.